Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break podcast, part of the Hoopheads podcast network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, and of course, everything that we do here at the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, the Lakers Fast Break, Lakerholics.com, go ahead and be part of the conversation there and check out the great articles that not only Jamie Sweet, Yami Swoot does at his Five Things articles, but also as well the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, Laker Tom. He's back, and he's back with a vengeance right there for you at Lakerholics.com. Let's go ahead and check out his latest tweets today at Laker Tom on Twitter. Let's also as well our good friend, Mr. Joe Sorrell, Mr. Sinblades with the Y, Sinblades.com. Go ahead and check out what he's doing today at LakersBall.com. He's part of the many groups that they have there, so go ahead and be part of the conversation there as well, because you know they're talking Lakers. You know they're talking NBA right there at LakersBall.com. Our good friends to Hoopheads Podcast Network, always got to give them a shout-out. And if you can go ahead again and subscribe today, it is truly appreciated. Right below Laker Tom, he's back just to hope that you can go ahead and subscribe. We're over 300. Let's get to 4. So let's go ahead and do that today right here. Subscribe at Lakers Fast Break. And if you can do all that, plus also as well, one more reminder. I'll give you probably another reminder on top of that. But our Lakers Fantasy Basketball League is still available for teams. Go ahead and sign up today. I'm going to have the link right below in the description, so go ahead and do that. Nick Wong is saying, what's up, Lakers Fast Break? Well, great to have you here, Nick. Great to have everyone back. But here today to talk about what we're doing is, of course, a great episode we have on tap for you because, yes, we know the Lakers are almost finishing up the exhibition season. We know that the regular season is right around the corner, a week from Tuesday. We're looking forward to it. But are there moves still available for the Lakers? And has it become more enticing because of certain situations with Draymond Green and his fisticuffs over there at Golden State? I know that's created quite the clamor, as we talked about on last night's postgame. But also as well, Victor Wembanyama. His tremendous performance last week that I saw live with these two eyes twice in two games, Tuesday and Thursday. I've actually got the tickets to prove it, which I'm going to go ahead and try and figure out how I can put in the collective case because I think it's going to be very valuable. So I'm trying to figure it out. But I saw him. He was tremendous in person. And the attitude of a lot of these NBA GMs might have changed because of the fact that, you know what, a lot of these teams might be tanking even harder now. So does that create an even better deal for the Lakers? We're going to talk about that as well. Nick Wong says, Matt Ryan, thoughts? I know he's not related to Russ. He was playing for his very Lakers life yesterday. I will say that. And in doing so, he might have made his standing a little bit better. Obviously, we have to see what he's going to do for the rest of two games, but If you want it, guys, if you want to go ahead and talk about Matt Ryan here in a bit, you're more than welcome to do that. But here today, like Blue Magic says, get well, Laker Tom is a good man indeed. He is first up, first man here. He returns to us after a long absence and a most welcome return at that. A lot of people have been asking on Facebook. A lot of people have been asking on YouTube and Twitter. I know on his own Twitter, at Laker Tom as well. It is Laker Tom. Laker Tom, great to have you back. Truly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. First up, before we get into everything as far as the deals and Matt Ryan and all that, what are your observations of the exhibition season to date for the Lakers?
I think it's been pretty positive. I think at the top of the list is that we saw LeBron James can still do it and Anthony Davis can still do it. So the premise that we so easily forget when things go wrong like they did last year is that if we have a healthy and rested LeBron and AD, we can compete with anybody. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first thing that jumped out at me for, you know, looking the way that Anthony Davis has been playing, the way he's been shooting free throws, the way his jumpers looked. And LeBron, you know, I think that's really the biggest positive signs. Then there are other really, Kendrick Nunn has played spectacularly.
Yes.
He's played like we really wished we had him last year. That would have made a big difference. But he has played really well. I'm actually pretty excited about Ryan if he can continue to shoot, because he's one of those guys who can hit those sidestep threes and so forth where you really got somebody good covering you. But if a guy is really hot, he can still better offense and beat better defense. And so I thought that was a really good thing. I think Reeves is still a strong contributor. I think that Beverly is going to be, it'll be interesting seeing how we work out the guard situation. But all of this can be interpreted in 100 different ways. You know, for example, the Lakers could be encouraged to think that they can still compete. It's once again, it's the LeBron and AD train. If you can get those two guys going, you're going to win a lot of games. And so maybe in the first 20, maybe they'll go through 20 games and see what they're going to get from it. To me, the better they do, the more I think it's important to make a move to fix the deficiencies on the team. We won that game against Golden State because we shot lights out. We had three or four guys that shot lights out from three. We're not likely to do that all the time. But it shows what this team could do if they have the right mix of players, because there was some great heroic moves and shots on the side of the Golden State Warriors during that game. You know, it was for an exhibition game. It was really a very good game for both teams. I think both teams saw a lot of it. I thought the most interesting aspect of the whole game was Jordan Poole. Here's a guy who just got flattened on video and shown to millions of people. And he came out there and really showed that he can overcome whatever is happening in his personal life and so forth. And he came out and he really showed, I think, everybody that he may have got knocked down by that punch, but he's not no pushover. He was really impressive. And it's amazing to think that the Warriors have the heir to Steph Curry right there. And he's probably going to get a rookie extension within the next week, I'm sure. And probably over $100 million. So I think things for the Lakers look pretty positive. There was a report by Dave McMinnon about Russ sort of losing out in the battle for the guard positions because so many guards now are playing well. And I think that there was also comments that David made that Russ seems to start games with a lot of enthusiasm, but really fades as the game goes on and becomes less and less a factor. It'll be interesting to see. The next two games we're supposed to play pretty straight rotations, you know, and these, I think that Ham has made the right move in going for AD at center, because neither Jones nor Bryant basically are ready to be starting center on a competing team. AD is definitely our best option at center. But I think all of these moves and everything that's happening with the team still coalesces to a point where maybe the Pacers will accept a second swap instead of a second pick, or something like that will happen. So the Lakers will move off of it because they still need a trade. They still are two or three rotation players short that they could fill up with pretty good fill-ins if they can make the right trade. And I still think the Pacers trade is the one to make.
Well, I will tell you that it's great to have him back. I did speak to his doctor, and he did say he is getting over his bout of Russell Westbrook in the starting lineup-itis. So hopefully he could go ahead and get healthy, but it's glad to have him back. I had to throw that joke in there. I've been waiting to go ahead and deliver that for days now. But I'm hoping you're right, Tom.
The truth of the matter was that I've been out for a while because I thought I had COVID. I was actually positive I had COVID. And I went and got tested, and I didn't. So then I went and got tested for COVID plus the flu, and I didn't have that. And I went a third time, and they told me that they wouldn't allow me to come back anymore. So at any rate, I had something, and whatever it was first time I think I've been sick in 10 years, you know, and definitely the last few years I haven't even had a cold or a flu or anything, simply because of the restrictions that we've put on our lives because of COVID. So,
yeah,
but it's good to be feeling good again, and good to be back on the podcast.
It's good to have you back indeed.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey Lakers fans, looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. But also here today, the reason why we're on StreamYard, he is the madman from Toronto, getting out of Toronto traffic, the magic man indeed. It is Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here, my friend. The reason why we do things still on StreamYard, I wanted to go ahead and you're now again full. I can hear you. I can see you. Everything's great. Nothing's jittery. Nothing's like shorting. So thank you to the internet gods. But be that as it may, it is something that we need to talk about as far as the Lakers. There still is, even with all the guard play that has been very promising so far in the exhibition season, obviously lends to the fact that there is make it easier to go ahead and possibly trade Russell Westbrook. Plus, you have the fact that, hey, he's looked okay as far as during the times he has been in there as far as for the entire exhibition season that he's been involved with. So that's a promising sign. But C, the fact is that with the Draymond Green incident, maybe probably I think it's a little bit more hyped up more than he'll actually get traded. I do think that, you know, they're strongly considering maybe not signing to an extension. So maybe he would be for trade if something went wrong during the course of the season. But more likely because of Victor Wembanyama and his outstanding performances. If you are not a team that's right on the cusp of a playoff race, if you think you're like hedging your bets or you think you're like on the fence, unless you're the Lakers, of
course.
That's
half of the league.
Well, it is half the league. And half of, that means half the league that's not named the Lakers, because the Lakers are stuck either which way. Like I said, Tom said, it would have to be the Lakers get the second pick and then the Indiana Pacers get the first pick. It's really for us to get worked out. But that would mean Scoot Henderson for our team. But be that as it may, Victor Wembanyama is changing a lot of ideals as far as GM's perspectives. Again, out of the maybe less than half full arenas that I saw on both those nights, most of it was NBA or draft related personnel that was there. It was interesting to see how they're gauging it. But your thoughts on this, I think it's really changing the perspective of a lot of individuals in the league as far as how they want to approach the season. And that could be a benefit to the Lakers in a sweeter deal, maybe even getting the same kind of players you were offering before, you were offered before, without having to attach those draft picks onto it.
Absolutely, Gerald. I've been rereading a favorite book of mine. It's called The 48 Laws of Power. Mm-hmm. And one of the laws is your reputation is the cornerstone of your power, so you need to guard it with your life. And in this instance, I think that, as you said, a lot of NBA offices now, front offices, have opened themselves up to basically showing the cards that, yeah, we're probably in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. And if that's the case, then whoever that team is dealing with, and for our purposes, it's going to be us, the Lakers. You're right, Gerald. It's incumbent upon Pelinka to take advantage of what they want. They want to tank. They want to shed salary. But you've got to give a little to get a little in the NBA. So if teams think that now that they can dangle, you know, a bad contract and still be able to get those two picks unprotected, I think teams need to reevaluate that and whether or not you really want to play chicken with Rob Pelinka and the Lakers in this situation. If you really think that you have a chance to draft Vic, you know, only one team is going to acquire this player through the draft. Only one. Yeah. And if certain teams want to go down this road for what could be a transformational player, and he looks every bit the part, then you need to understand that there are consequences to doing that. In 2012, the then Charlotte Bobcats decided that they were going to tank, and they were insistent on tanking. And they only had one person in mind to draft, and that was Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. We know what happened. They fell out of the top pick. They ended up with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who turned out to be an okay player, you know, nothing special. But they gambled, and they lost badly. And so if I was a team potentially dealing with the Lakers or potentially dealing with the Nuggets or the Clippers, I'd be very, very, very skeptical about just forking over reliable fixed contracts that you use for trades in the future. But as you said, the player himself is very transformational, and it might be worth the risk. It might be.
Well, it might be indeed, but I do think as well that, you know, when you have someone as it's a transformational, generational talent like Victor Wembanyama, it's going to go ahead and change the minds of a lot of individuals that were maybe thinking, okay, we're going to have a promising year, maybe get close to the play-in. Maybe now that they're going to go ahead and maybe change their mind on that, maybe now trades become more approachable for the Lakers. Your thoughts on this, Tom? I mean, because again,
well, the thing about Victor that amazes me is the team that I would be worried about is the Oklahoma City Thunder, simply because they could offer for whoever got the number one pick, they could offer 8 first round draft picks.
Mm-hmm. And Chet Holmgren.
Draft picks, we got them.
Yeah, and Chet Holmgren.
Draft pick, they cannot use all of the draft picks they have. They can't even use half of them, which means that they're going to be used down the road. And I couldn't imagine a bigger spot to use them than to go after Victor. I mean, you got a player who some are even surmising, which is ridiculous since he hasn't even played, as being, you know, the next LeBron James, next transitory player, you know, that and he looks terrific, you know, but still, you know, I mean, big guys got to prove that they can not get injured. It's almost something that's got to happen. But there are teams that are going to tank for him, and fortunately, in the NBA, if you're not a, if you're not in the playoffs, you're a lottery team. That means even if you're the 14th team, you still got a little tiny percentage chance of getting that top pick. So there's a a lot of teams will be interested in increasing the number of ping pong balls that they're getting with their number on it when we come down to the draft order and so forth. Here's what my big concern with the Lakers is. It's one thing if you're looking for the best deal that you can get and you're giving up those two unprotected first round picks, meaning that you're giving up the most that you can give up reasonably. I mean, you can throw in three pick swaps or something like that to really handicap yourself, but you give up the two picks and you give them up and you let them go. You got to get something back that is at least as good as Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Which means that something has to pop up, either, you know, Draymond, because he's a clutch client and because he would probably be fabulous on the Lakers, is an interesting situation, but not if you have to allow Miles Turner to go to the Warriors. You know, that would be a dumb move by the Lakers. Turner's a better fit than and you get a lot younger than and a lot cheaper than Draymond is. But you're hoping for a team to tank who's got a couple of good shooters that could aggregate to be, you know, for a $47 million Russell Westbrook trade. And you're hoping, and what the Lakers are really hoping for is to be able to get by with that with just one draft pick. Mm-hmm. That they can keep a pick so that they can go into the season at the mid-season mark and have a pick to really be able to deal with still. That following summer, they would have then two picks because we would have our right to the 24 pick. So you worry about the Lakers got so close with Buddy Hield and then decided to go with Russ. Then they got so close again, I mean, at the 1 yard line with Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. And then we lost that. Now, maybe Rob Pelinka will prove me to be a fool and has been tough negotiating all the way along. And we'll end up getting Turner and Hield for a pick and a swap. That would be the greatest possible thing that would happen. And I would celebrate and say, way to give him that extension, Genie. Great job. I just worry about the fact that when you came down to making a decision, which you'd actually postponed a press conference for, that instead of taking charge and making the decision, when there was a variety of opinions, you instead expanded the range of people that you're going to include in the decision-making process to include the Buss brothers, who I would suspect basically value draft picks a lot more than LeBron James does.
Well, Jesse Buss was there with me.
And are going to be there in 27 and 29,
even if
LeBron is not.
Yeah. Yes, and that's an excellent point, Tom. I brought that up yesterday in the chat. It's that the future of the Lakers is Jesse and Joey. They're the future. They're going to be running the franchise.
Did they screw up the Turner deal, or was it Genie or somebody else?
That's a really good question. I mean, you know, if we had to speculate,
it's too many cooks in the kitchen, man.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, if I had to speculate on that, I would say that if they were involved in the decision making, I agree with you. I think they would basically poo-poo that move just based on the fact that the problem with that deal is that Miles Turner is on an expiring contract. That's the one thing I don't like about it.
You gotta get an agreement to sign with him because you cannot send draft picks away for expiring contracts.
Right. Yeah. If you're gonna send away those, right. I mean, if you're gonna send away those unprotected picks, you have to get somebody with term.
Yeah, get somebody that you're gonna keep. You don't spend picks, unprotected picks, unless you want to keepers.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's like Gerald was saying, though. I mean, when you think of some teams on the margins right now,
the Bulls. Bulls to suck.
Gerald brought them up, and ironically, the Bulls. I believe the Bulls were the last team who finished in the hot the high lottery side and ended up with the number one pick. I think they were 14th overall, and they ended up getting Derrick Rose. So a team like that could potentially, if within the first 20 or 25 games, it wouldn't surprise me, like Gerald said, if they decided to pull the parachute and just say.
I think it's inevitable because everybody understands that. And of course, attendance really does change this. Because some arenas, when they're empty, they, you know, you've got to do anything you can to get fans in there. Russell Westbrook, perfect example, folks. But everybody knows that if you get caught in the middle, you're dead. You're not good enough to win, and you're not good enough to get a good draft pick. So your chances are really slim unless you happen to be to hit the lottery, you know, and you got the number two pick or number three pick because you were the 13th or 14th team. You just happened to have the right ping pong ball come up. But I think that there's definitely a sensation of that. And when you got a player like that, some teams basically will probably join the sellers, you know.
That's and what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. The Lakers have a deal that can make them great. If you think about how good LeBron and AD have looked in preseason, how good Nunn has looked, and several other players have played well. Walker has played very well. And you've got Reeves, and you've got Schroeder, and you've got Beverly. You've got some guards who can defend. And I just hope we don't go out and play AD at the five, LeBron at the four, and three guards. Because we got killed last year when we did that we got killed in the points in the paint and the rebounds because we're playing small ball. We really are playing. So it's not small ball on steroids because there ain't no Markieff Morris in there to enforce and everything. Instead, we needed somebody. We needed if they're going to start AD, they need a real three, a real, you know, 6'8" power forward type guy that can shoot from distance and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see what we do on that. It's a disappointing that neither Jones nor Bryant could seize that position that they were almost handed. Yeah, but it's also a credit to AD played spectacularly too.
I think the issue with playing either one of those players with Anthony is that both of them are vertically deficient. That neither one of them rebound very well. And that was a concern last year when even with AD out, we gave up second and third possessions.
Yeah, they gather, you know, all the time. Bryant got several shots blocked because he couldn't even get off the ground because he was, you know, he has to gather. And same thing with Jones. But those are also reasons why it makes sense for us to possibly finish the trade with, you know, with the Pacers. It makes sense for them too. I mean, they've got a weird situation. They've got some good players on the team. I mean, they've created a team that can't win and can't lose.
I'm still hoping for Atlanta. That's my thing. I'm still hoping Atlanta will actually disappoint, even though they got DeJounte Murray, because if they tank and they're looking to sell, I would love a package. I've already mentioned it on this show. Now, hear me out again. This is probably the best package, better than anything I've heard so far, including the Indiana one. Be Capella, John Collins, and Bogdanovich for Beverly, and also as well Russell Westbrook. I think you couldn't get much better than that. I think that's a solid one right there.
No, I'd like Trae Young. Yeah. I'd like Trae Young instead.
Don't we all like Trae Young instead? But yeah,
well, he can't play defense, but I love his offense.
Oh, he's a spectacular offensive player. Yeah.
But I don't think Atlanta would be unloading him, even if they actually do end up tanking.
They got enough pieces that they're going to try something before they'll tank.
So yeah, I don't see them tanking. There are four teams to keep in mind then in the Eastern Conference. If you're thinking about teams on the margins, the Knicks is one, the Hawks, the Bulls, and I'm going to be a little surprising here, and I'm going to say the Cavs. I think outside of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, if their season for some reason goes off the rails, I think you could deal with them.
But that one's going to be a hard one simply because of the fact that if you have such a talented individual like Mobley, who is such I think he's going to be on the verge of being something really special.
I think he's on the verge of all NBA in his second season if he stays healthy.
And if he does stay healthy, if that's the case, and he grows that much, it's going to be really hard for me to see them falter that badly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, you have to include somebody in there. There definitely are teams on the margins. I would say those four are likely. I might put the Raptors in there, but I think the Raptors have a chemistry that will lead them to not being a play-in team. I think they're a top six team in the East. Gerald, if you think the Cavs are out, then there are three teams, right? The Knicks, the Bulls, the Hawks. If one of those teams falters, and look, we all know there's always one or two teams in the NBA who have high expectations and they just disappoint. They crap the bed. It happens in baseball. It happens in football. It's invariably going to happen in the NBA. It's just what you said, Gerald. Is Rob Pelinka going to strike when the iron's hot, or is he going to just sit back and twiddle his thumbs like what was the name of that villain from the Bond with the cat?
Blofeld?
Yes. Yeah. Just sitting there, just rubbing the cat, watching all these great rotational players go in trades to other teams that he's competing against. So like you said, Gerald, he's gotta strike when the iron's hot or we're not gonna be able to compete.
That's the problem.
There are
two Rob Pelinkas. There's the Rob Pelinka who's ready to grab the deal and knows everything. And then there's the Rob Pelinka who all of a sudden will give up the mantle of leadership and punt.
Well, let me ask you this then. He just got rewarded for his outstanding, and I use that term very loosely and very sarcastically, a performance these past couple of years.
What happens when you're in a family business?
Yeah, I know. Didn't I mention the nepotism yesterday, Sean?
Yes, you did, Gerald, several times.
Okay, so not approved?
Well, it's a woman. It's a woman in charge of an organization who really doesn't understand the sport itself or the dynamics of the players involved in the sport itself. And she thinks she's still working with Kobe. there's that element of total trust, despite... I mean, mind-boggling, goofy decisions. Drummond, DeAndre Jordan. If there's anything that really drives fans crazy, especially smart fans, it's when their organizations do totally stupid things, like not bringing Caruso back. You line those little things up there, and little things count in every business. Detail counts. Detail is how you get quality. Detail is how you get quality on the floor, on the court, when you're playing the game. Paying attention to those details, where everybody's supposed to be on every play so that you understand the dynamics of what space you're creating and all of those things. They all blow together so that you have to accomplish those little things. And that's one of the hardest things to do in today's game because, you get, six preseason games? You can't even play. Nobody wants to play all our players because you don't want anybody to get hurt, for God's sakes.
As we saw here in Las Vegas when they played.
Yeah, I had several times when watching the games the last few days, and the last game was not bad, mind you, but, maybe they shouldn't even have any exhibition games. They really are terrible, especially late in the game.
Yeah.
Well, in his 5 years as GM, here's his record: lottery, missed playoffs, championship, first round exit, lottery. I for the life of me, if that
this
was
looks like a trend, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And to me, if that was anybody
else, are we due for a championship next one? Is that which way do you interpret that though, Sean?
You know what, Tom, you got me on the spot here. I didn't really think about it. But
when you think about that, it's 1, 2, 3. Wait. No, he won it in the second year, right? First year?
No. The first year, remember the first year he came in with Magic.
Right. Okay. So they had a lottery. Then they had
missed playoffs because LeBron got hurt.
And then they had
then championship. Yep. And then first round exit, and then another lottery appearance.
And now we're due for a championship.
we'll see about that. Yes. But I think my bigger point was that
John just proved for everybody mathematically from the patterns of the last.
Don't give these people false hope.
And I interpret that to mean that a Miles Turner trade is going to happen before.
I hope it does. I hope something happens because I was just going to say, if that was anybody else's name other than Rob Pelinka, if it was Sean Grice, if it was Gerald Glassford, we'd be fired. Genie would fire us over that 5-year job record. Performance. Yeah, history. We wouldn't be able to survive that. I mean,
but he gets an extension.
Yeah. And like Gerald said, it's one of the most confounding moves that the organization has made, and that's saying something.
I understand it's probably to align with Darvin Ham, but are you really going to, you know, if he continues down that pattern of decision-making, which you've seen is very shaky and suspect as best, especially in the past 2 seasons,
are you going to continue with that? That's the problem. It's the one thing you can be hit and miss on other things in the organization, but when you hit and miss on the key players, that's awful hard to build. If you can't, you know, you can't bat 33 or 500 and think you're going to build a really good team. You know, you got to be batting 70, 80%, 90%, right?
Well, Tom, it's also the small things, such as when I went into detail yesterday about Max Christie. Let's say he pops. And he later this year or late next year, you're now stuck with paying him an exorbitant salary in his 3rd year, while other guys in and around that 2nd round draft area.
And you have to give him money sooner than you would have to.
Yeah, those guys. Let's say those guys pop, or those guys play well enough to stay in the league. They are like on $1 million salaries in their 3rd and 4th year. Well, Max Christie, we're already going to have to pay a lot of money if he pops as an athlete. Now, maybe in 2 years he'll be waived or he'll be just let go and move on and see you. But then it's a wasted 2nd-round draft pick because you actually spent money to Orlando to get that draft pick in the first place. So it's either where you're spending much more money than you needed to, or you go ahead and you wasted the money that you gave to Orlando by getting that pick in the first place because you had lousy observations and projections on that actual player. So you don't win either which way if Max Christie, either which way. So it does not look good. It's just the evaluation process.
That gets you back to the problem of building a team when 50% of the players that you pick don't click.
And that's usually the ratio. Let's put that out there. Every team.
Well, I think the Lakers would be fortunate if they had that ratio.
And they've actually had been better. They've been one of the better drafting teams of the past decade as far as putting NBA players out there on the floor.
Yeah, but there's a little advantage that they get for that because everybody wants to get a job with the Lakers. And a lot of guys who would get drafted late in the 2nd round, they basically tell teams they're not interested in that. They'd rather be free agents so they can go, you know, try to get wherever they can get. And so I think that the Lakers have done a good job of picking guys out that work well in that sense. What they haven't done a good job is understanding how you build a roster that has some balance, that can play big, can play small, can play fast, can play slow, can adapt to whatever you have to adapt to when you get in the playoffs, because that's really the name of the game. And then you also do have to have a regular season plan. How do you get through those 82 games without blowing the wheels off your 2 superstars? And constantly having too many guards and not enough wings, there's a point where you really got to question how, you know, we just added Schroeder. What do we need Schroeder for? You know, there's going to be guys that aren't going to be playing, man. And listen, nothing against Dennis, but he's an emotional guy. He's not going to like sitting on the bench.
Well, but he was out of the league, you know, for a period of time last season.
Yeah, I know, too. But, you know, hopefully we'll see. You know, the one thing that I hated about Frank Vogel is his bias towards certain players, regardless of their performance, regardless of their stats, his feeling that Avery Bradley had to be on the floor, or DeAndre Jordan had to be on the floor, Drummond had to be on the floor, all of these various things. When you combine those two things together, it's a freaking miracle that we won in the bubble. I mean, seriously, think about it. You got the team Pelinka put together and the coach all year long, he won't make any moves. But then all of a sudden, boom, in a series of two or three games in a row, oh, JaVale's gone, Howard's gone. And Markieff Morris is in there, and we're playing small ball on steroids and kicking the heck out of everybody.
Well, here's what I think happened, Tom, and it's a theory, and see if you agree with some of it. So after the bubble happened, I it's my personal feeling that Pelinka wanted to pull the drain on the team anyway and build it in more ways that he wanted it. So I think he convinced Genie that Frank Vogel is a defensive guru, and no matter who we bring in, Frank will find a way to put them in a position to make us a very good defensive team. Now, that didn't end up being the case, because it's not Frank Vogel's fault. Vogel was a good coach. There's no disputing his defensive chops. But I think what ended up happening is that Vogel had really good defenders in Indiana, and for the bubble season with us, he had really good defenders. He's not an MIT defensive guru like Eric Spoelstra is, and he obviously on the offensive end, he's not even close to Don Nelson. But if you give him competent defensive players, he can put them in a position to succeed. When Jeannie found out that he's no defensive guru, I think that's when she got really peeved. To me, it wasn't her spending the money for the Westbrook trade. It was the fact that Pelinka decided to make the move. We're going to be more of a finesse team rather than a defensive team. And they all have egg on their face because of it.
Well, it's something, again, we have to consider as far as all the different things that are going on behind the scenes. But I am terribly disappointed that they are thinking of Rob Pelinka right now in a very positive light by giving him an extension. I think that they needed more time to evaluate this team before you go ahead and just automatically say, hey, you know what?
That's not the Lakers' way. I mean,
how many years did he have on his previous deal? Was it one or two?
I think he had.
I thought it was 2024.
But he got an extension. He got a 3-year extension, I think. And
oh, God.
So he's got 4 more years of him. Listen, the Lakers, what's more important to the Lakers is stability, continuity, and making sure that the people who have the jobs know that they're not in danger of losing their jobs. Listen, Jeannie voted right there. You saw her vote. Rob Pelinka, you know, doesn't matter anybody else in the organization. She's the governor. She makes that final decision. That they gave him that contract because they believe in what he's doing. They believe he's the right guy to pull those deals off. And he could be, okay? Because everybody, I mean, I don't care what guy you choose, your most revered analyst and expert payroll personnel, you know, an analyst. They all screw up. They all miss guys, and they all have bad decisions. And Pelinka's, where's the line drawn between the fact that DeAndre Jordan started all those games? Was that part of his deal? You know, we found out it was Drummond's deal that he started. Man, that was a deal. You sign your contract, you get the start. You just don't know for sure exactly what's going on with these situations. The one thing that I do like, and I give Pelinka a lot of credit for this, is I think Darvin Ham's the right guy. I really believe in this guy. I mean, it's crazy, but I really do believe he's exactly the charismatic person who understands the modern game and is willing to make the adjustments or take on whatever challenges the Lakers want to throw at him as a rookie head coach, you know. I have a lot of confidence that he's going to make the right decisions and so forth. And I think where that's going to translate, it'll be very interesting to see. Will he choose the right players to start and be in a rotation? You know, will those rotations make sense? Can we shoot good enough? Can we defend good enough to win a few of those games? Can we show that, you know, can we show that if you were to add a couple of really strong impact players in place of Westbrook, what kind of team would you have? And how far could you go? And are these players that you're willing to invest the money in to make sure that you have to give Turner at least a 1+1 to match him up with LeBron, AD, and Buddy? Then you got, you know, 2 years of each of them to see what those four guys can do together as a team. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Now, the big temptation is going to be, you know, can they find a deal that just takes one pick? You don't get quite as good a guys, you know, but you save that one pick. The one pick that later could be the difference between you getting a Kyrie Irving or a, you know, whoever you want to dream of getting. Who else are we dreaming of getting? That's the interesting question. They said Kyrie. They're no longer thinking about Kyrie.
Or maybe signing him on the offseason as far as a free agent.
No, they're not interested in trading for him.
Oh, no, I meant signing him as a free agent.
Yeah, but they couldn't. They can only get about $35 million at best. He's a $45 million a year guy.
If he plays like it this season, which I'm expecting, actually, he'll play.
He will. You kidding? He's going to have his best year ever.
Oh, you know it. If any time he's going to, you know, it's got to be now. It's got to be now for him. Yeah. I know Nick Wong was saying, I thought that DJ being such a part of the Lakers last year was a little bit on Kurt Rambis. Ultimately, it is up to the coach to actually put him into the games and put him in the starting lineup. Kurt Rambis aside, I know he's been much maligned and deservedly so as far as his, I guess, participation in what he does for the Lakers front office. But ultimately, it's what, you know, he wasn't the one that could go ahead and put him in the starting lineup. That was on Frank Vogel, and I think that Frank Vogel needs to go ahead and get a lot of the blame for that. And I still don't know how DJ still has a job in the league, but hey, he found a sucker in Denver, and there you go. But
let's get vouch for you.
Yeah, Renzo, I guess so.
For you.
Yeah, Nuggets fans, pray to the basketball gods that nothing happens to the Joker. Because if it does, you will feel our pain, and you will receive no sympathy.
That's right, for sure. I will say,
you know, last night's win, I thought was really important. A lot more important than most of the other, any other situation I could think of. Not only because we beat the Warriors, but we beat them at home. We beat them in a game where they had some players play lights out, man. I mean, Poole, a couple of those moves that Poole made, two guys shooting 93% as number one and number two free throw shooters in the league. And you got these two guys that both are bombing away from 40 feet away. The Lakers responded really beautifully in this game. I was really impressed with the way that they played. And it's going to be interesting to see what Ham's rotations are. That's the next big thing that I need to see in order to continue my same feelings real strongly that he's the right coach for this particular team in this particular situation.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. I know a lot of people out there are speculating what the Lakers will do as well, but it's been a great conversation. Nick Wong is kind of bummed about how he treated Dwight too. Well, you know what, Dwight right now, not out of the league, looking for a place in the league or the WWE, your choice there, but before we head on out, I know that you guys have some last and final thoughts before our next coverage. Right now, as we're scheduled to go ahead and do some post games right now, as far as on Wednesday night, don't have anything planned for Tuesday, but you never know. It all depends on what's going on with the NBA. But Sean, when you consider what's going on with Matt Ryan trying to make his place on the team with the roster the way it is, any last thoughts on the Lakers before we head on out?
You know what, Gerald? At this point, the win was great, and I saw Lakers Twitter last night was ready to declare Matt Ryan the next Del Curry. Slow your roll on that one, Lakers Twitter, all right? Like, give the kid a chance to breathe after that kind of performance.
Watch him play defense, and then you'll maybe...
You know what, Gerald?
He should hit six out of nine every game.
You know what? If he can shoot like that and play with a hot poker up his you-know-what defensively, he's going to get minutes. It's just that simple. I'm with Tom. I'm interested to see him's rotations. At this point, I think, Gerald, I've said this before, I think it's all hands on deck. The best five guys, put them on the floor. Regardless of position, put them on the floor and finish with the best five guys who have been playing in the game. I think that's all we care about. It's we're not looking for
so who's your five? Who's your five stars?
To close the game out, Tom?
Let's say to start the game.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have none.
I agree. One.
Yeah, I'd have none at the one. I'd have Jones at the five to start. I'd have AD at the four. LeBron at the three. And then at the two, I think you got to go with Pat Beverly, honestly.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Tom, you have any thoughts on that?
I would probably go with Nunn and Beverly as the backcourt. So I agree with Sean there. I think you got to start AD just because I just don't think you get enough from Jones and Bryant at this point in time. Thomas especially looked really hard to get off of his feet. You know, he's obviously still not recovered, you know, fully from that MLE that he had. I think you've got LeBron and AD at the five and four. Then the question goes, who do you put at the three?
I'd put, if that's the case, I like JTA at the three.
He's a good choice because he can do a little of everything, you know. I'd really like to see Matt Ryan turn out to be the guy that could be plugged into that spot.
Well, you know, we all basing this off of one
spot on the lineup that needs shooting. Man, that's the spot.
You know, we're basing this off of one game. It's one game.
Well, no, he's a 42% career 3-point shooter. He's 5 years in the
G League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's clarified in the G League.
Hey, listen, man, there's a lot of – where do you think Jordan Poole came from?
No. Hey, there are great players in the G League, but it's – you know, it's – there's a, you know, Tom, there's a difference between facing a pitcher in AAA.
How many guys do coaches let take seven a game?
Right, and then you come up tell you
what, that right? tells you what you need to know about his game. He can make the shots. Yeah.
Okay.
Now he could fade out the way that Swider's faded out. Yeah. Swider can't make a shot for the life of him all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's a shame. And I really wanted that kid to
I really wanted him to be up there too.
Don't give up on that kid yet. Every guy has good and bad streaks, right? This is a professional sport. You have ups and downs. I got to be honest though, his defense has improved from what I saw in the summer league. Any thoughts on that?
Well, again, that's great, but right now with Cole Swider, he's still a long way away. You can see he really just does not have right now what it takes.
You look at guys who aren't going to be in that rotation. Swider's one of them. Okay, Christie's not going to be in the rotation.
No.
One of Bryant or Jones is not going to be in the rotation. There's only room for one of them, really.
So where does that leave Jay Huff?
Jay Huff won't make the team.
No, he won't make the team. But where does that leave him? Because if you're not getting production from either Bryant or Jones,
I would give him a two-way. I would give him a two-way. Yeah. I would not.
The problem is everybody's the stuff that I read about it is that he's really a step slow on both sides, offensively and defensively. And that's really his biggest problem, that, you know, he blocks a lot of shots and so forth, but it's still, you know,
he can hit threes.
Yep.
So that's all I'll say. But once
there's
again,
a value to that, but you know, I think how good this team could be if they had Miles Turner at center and AD at the four, LeBron at the three. I mean, put those guys on there with none and Buddy Hield. You know, well, I mean.
I'm just going to say right now that I've put a task to the rest of the Lakers Fast Break crew, including these guys, and hopefully they will go ahead and respond by Wednesday postgame for the 15-man roster and the two-ways. Who do you think should be on the 15-man roster? In fact, I leave it out to everybody out there. If you have thoughts on your 15-man roster for the Los Angeles Lakers, please go ahead and send it to me before the end of game on Wednesday, when they go ahead and face off against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So go ahead and let me know.
Add Matt Ryan's name to the 14 that are already there.
He's on there. In fact, I made out my 15 already. So I will say that he did make it.
Yes, he made it on mine too.
But please go ahead and send me your list. I'm sending this in.
We all know what the list looks like now.
Well, yeah, we do, because there are some. Jamie and I already disagree on a couple. So yes, yeah, I think you should send that in. So please,
you think they're going to cut people? Oh wow! Oh,
yeah, cool. They have to cut people. They have to cut. They have to cut.
No, they're on just contracts just for the camp.
Well, I think Wenyen Gabriel is someone that I think that the team should.
Gabriel's
really
played well. He's played well.
No, he hasn't. Not that I've seen. One drive to the basket per game is. There's a lot more to it than that. I know that there's been some issues as far as his shooting is concerned. That's during all the exhibition season. Plus, the kid has a lot of heart, but not a lot of talent. And I'll leave it at that. But again, I'd love to see your 15-man roster to see if
we're
on the back
end. Another guard, huh? Is that what the plan is?
Well, no, that's what Rob Pelinka seems to. Rob Pelinka has a desire to go ahead and collect every below average guard that's out there.
I want to be as small as we possibly can be.
Yes, absolutely. That's his desire.
Micro ball. We're going to play micro ball.
Below average guards. If you are a below average guard out there in the NBA, you still have a chance because Rob Pelinka.
That Bev is our. Our lockdown wing.
That's crazy. That is definitely crazy.
6'1", man. Plays bigger.
Yeah.
Much bigger.
That's just crazy. I can't wait to see that lineup. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there watching and listening. If you have any questions for us, please go ahead and just, you know, give us a holler. LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Also as well, Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, or you just drop your stuff in the comments right there as far as on YouTube. I do go ahead and check them after the fact. But again, we will be back on Wednesday after the game, post-game, I believe against Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken. Also as well, we're going to be talking about who should make the final roster. We do have a season preview special episode that we are going to drop a week from tonight. Because there's no game on that night, we're going to go ahead and talk as long as we can for that one. It's going to be a great NBA season preview. I've already asked the guys as a separate homework assignment to go ahead and map out their Eastern and Western Conference, number 1 through 15, trying to see if I can pull them all together to get a consensus, plus also as well their NBA Finals teams. So hopefully the guys can do that before Monday. And if you out there have a number 1 to number 15 all the way down the list, both Western and Eastern Conference, plus the NBA Finals teams, go ahead and send it out to us.
What are they going to win?
There's no contest. We are only 300. We got to go ahead and get more subscribers for that, my friend. Yeah, how about your New York Yankees hat? How about that?
No, I'm giving up this Yankees hat.
Okay, fair enough.
Yankees going all the way this year.
Okay.
Trust me.
I think Joe Soros Dodgers might have something to say about that. But
yeah.
I will say, if you have thoughts on the Western Eastern Conference, please go ahead and send us your numbers 1 through 15, plus your NBA Finals teams and who will win right there for you at LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. Remember, we're doing a fantasy basketball league too. So if you're really into fantasy basketball, there's a Lakers Fast Break League. It's in the description below, right there for you, wherever you get your podcast, and of course on YouTube. So go ahead and be part of the fun today. Right there, our draft is on Thursday night, so I'm looking forward to that. Gerald, are you a Halo and Elder Scrolls fan? It's right up behind me, right there for you.
Yeah, right there.
Absolutely. I played 150 hours of Oblivion, which is the one right above my head, and Halo 3. I played so much of. In fact, I was a manager for a couple game stores around the time of Halo 3, and I remember the great party that we had. I had over 300 pre-orders on my store for it, so it was just a great time for Halo 3. Could be the last great Halo game, depending on who you ask. So I think that's another conversation for another day. Or you can go ahead and hit me up on my Pop Culture Cosmos show, where we talk about that stuff all the time at Pop Culture Cosmos. So, yes, I am a Halo and Elder Scrolls fan indeed, but also you see Mass Effect and you see all that stuff behind me. But getting back to the Lakers, if you have any thoughts on the season up ahead, the Lakers roster, LakersFastBreak at yahoo.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And also as well, we'd love to go ahead and have you check out what we're doing. Again, I'm just a whole bunch of stuff, starting with the post game tomorrow on Wednesday night. The post game is Wednesday night after the game. We'll be here. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Appreciate it, Nick. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Thank you so much for everybody for watching and listening. So for the madman from Toronto, the magic man, Sean Grice, who we wish a happy Canadian Thanksgiving to. Truly appreciate him watching. And to all of our Canadian viewers, we wish a happy and safe Thanksgiving for you. For a returning Laker, Tom, thank you so much. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad that the Russell Westbrook-itis, you're hopefully over it. So hopefully we can go ahead and weed that out of you.
Almost ready to be traded.
Okay. All right. Watch. Well, Laker Tom, if that happens, watch him do like cartwheels across the screen. There you go. That he'll feel so much better. So much better indeed.
I'll be flying.
There you go. He'll be flying. One way or another, indeed. But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you being a part of it. If you have not yet subscribed, be part of the over 300 subscribers now. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Please go ahead and subscribe below Sean Grice today. You will be glad you did, because you get the latest notifications on when we go on air. It's not just after the post games that we're going to be doing. We've got special episodes. Hopefully I'll get more, interviews with other special guests and so forth. In fact, we just got a new subscriber right now. Thank you, DM4L, for subscribing. It is truly appreciated. And again, if you want to go ahead and be part of what we do, go ahead and check us out wherever you get your audio podcasts, or right here on YouTube at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.